Leading with Conviction, Making Equality for People with Disabilities a Priority for the United States of America, by Neil Romano. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Neil Romano. From the editor, Saturday afternoon, President Rick Abono opened the session, and our first presenter was the Honorable Neil Romano. Here's how the president introduced him.
Our first speaker this afternoon is Chair of the National Council on Disability, an independent, nonpartisan federal agency that advises the President, Congress, and other federal agencies on disability policy. He was appointed to NCD by Congress in 2015, and he's now in his second term. He has dedicated his career to the marketing of ideas and messages to help save lives and promote public policy. And he's been successful in a variety of endeavors. You may know him from his previous work. In 2007, he was nominated by President George W. Bush to be the Assistant Secretary of Labor for Disability Employment Policy and was unanimously confirmed by the U.S. Senate. In that position, he led disability employment policy initiatives across the federal agencies. And on February 26, 2018, the President of the United States appointed him as the chair of NCD. And he didn't waste any time in making it clear what his priorities would be. And he has many priorities, but there's one that he's pursuing more doggedly than any of the others, and it is the complete elimination of 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act. Here to address us in his hometown of Orlando is Neil Romano.
Thank you. Thank you very much, President Rick Abono. I have to tell you, it's rare that I am in a room that is so alive. Holy smoke! I was saying to Congressman Soto before I got up here, I just keep waiting for someone to say, the great state of Tennessee gives 15 votes to the presidency. This is an amazing convention. Congratulations to the planning committee and all the folks who do this. What this means when a person comes to something like this is it means that there's great leadership and great cause and great purpose that we're all looking for here. You know, I'm delighted to be here to address the National Federation Blind for a lot of reasons, but I also want to take an opportunity to say thank you. Over the last so many years, every time it seems that I'm up for some appointment or other in the federal government, you know, no one ever knows how you get these things. You know, it's some kind of magic. All of a sudden your name appears on a list. And then all of a sudden in that list, you either rise or fall, or you get really embarrassed. It shows up in the newspaper and no one's ever heard of you. But no one understands always the alchemy or the magic of how it all happens. But I have to tell you, over the last number of years, NFB has consistently supported me in my efforts. And I have to tell you that I want to thank you for that. And I want to say that I am going to do everything I can to make you happy and proud that you supported me. And it's oddly, it's not just because I want to make you guys happy. It's because I know that NFB, if I'm doing something that makes you happy, I am doing something that is good for people with disabilities and Americans. So thank you. You know, President Riccobono's responsibility is to give you an introduction of me. And I mean, he has to say something about me. I don't come with the cachet of a congressman. I mean, you know who that is. You know what he does. You know how hard he worked to get there. But who is this guy? He has to give you some background on me because, you know, the planning committee doesn't want you to think they just picked me up in the hallway. Okay, let's be serious because, you know, to fill 15 minutes. So, you get this image of a person and they tell you things like, you know, I was the director of communications for President Reagan. I served as assistant secretary of labor and on and on, and I was appointed to this committee, and you heard all of that. But I have to tell you, hearing what I did doesn't necessarily communicate who I am, and more importantly, why I believe what I believe, and why you can understand that I will be consistent and hardworking for you as the chairman of NCD. So, I'm now going to tell you a little bit about me, as briefly as I can. You are hearing from a person who has suffered, I wouldn't say I suffered, but who has serious dyslexia and has spent much of his life ashamed of his limited ability to read and write, and truly understands the crushing weight of low expectations. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stop here and tell you something funny, okay? You say, oh, my God, he just killed his dramatic line. Well, I got a couple more. Don't worry about it. And I got a couple of real nasty barbs, too, but I hope you write those. Anyway, I come from a working-class Italian-American family back in Brooklyn. It's here at Brooklyn. It's here in New York, New Jersey. Anyway, thank you, guys. When I was selected to be the Assistant Secretary of Labor for the United States, it was shocking to me. I was in a store buying CDs, and all of a sudden someone said, the president would like to talk to you on my cell phone, which I think the woman behind me thought was just the most amazing pickup line I was making up. I said, yes, of course I'll speak to the president of the United States. But anyway, he said, Neil, you know, you've been complaining and moaning and going around the country talking about, you know, this 14C thing that you hate and all these other things. He said, how would you like to put your money where your mouth is and be my assistant secretary? I said, well, Mr. President, you put it that way. You know, what can I say? Of course. So what did I do? I hang up. And what would any good Italian kid from Brooklyn do? I picked up the phone and called my mom. I said, Mom, I just got off the phone with the president, and he's asking me to be the Assistant Secretary of Labor. And my God, we're printers. My family, you know. My mother was extraordinarily quiet to the point where I thought she had fainted. You know, I said, oh, it's my mother in Brooklyn laying on the floor, you know, this is awful. And finally I said, Mom, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. She said, but does the president know you can't spell? Sometimes low expectations are just inherent. And they're not always mean, they just are what people believe. You also don't know that I was raised with a cousin with Down syndrome my entire life. who taught me that her hopes, her dreams, her desires were not the slightest bit different from mine. And she had in herself the most pronounced idea of freedom I have ever known. Which makes it interesting when I hear people say to me, well, they don't really know what they want. They don't really want to make money. That's not their expectations. I guess you need to know that my father's best friend his entire life until the day he died was a blind evangelist who some of you may have heard of. He's from here in Florida, named Ralph Montanus. And we never marveled at the fact of what he could do as a blind man. We marveled at the fact that a man who was dedicated to other people could really affect the lives of millions of people worldwide. My orientation with blind people is an executive who worked very, very hard and achieved. I have a brother who recently passed, who was a Vietnam veteran, who was a quadriplegic from the war. And I got to see what love means in a family that makes people in bad situations do better. But I also saw the obstacles caused by bureaucracy that often make the care of loved ones a full-time and lonely job. And finally, my resume doesn't give you any indication at all that standing before you is an older man who grapples with the daily effects of leukemia and now faces the unexpected physical and often emotional changes of knowing the name of what will take you. I tell you all of this because you need to know, as your chairman of NCD, I'm not someone who's learned my lessons from things I've read. I'm not someone who has taken the time to learn things from books, and I have no constituency except you. I have no constituency except us. Now let me talk a little bit about, I'm running out of time already, which is shocking, but they're probably saying, when the heck is he gonna get to the NCD stuff? Well, eventually. You know, but John, he already took away my 14C piece. What's next? Anyway. But at NCD, we have a series of priorities, and I'm going to run through. We have many of them, but I'm going to just highlight four of them that mean a great deal to us. One of them is, it's funny. I have an intro here of what 14C is, but I don't think I need it in this room, do I? Can you imagine for one moment, a law which allows Americans with disabilities to be paid less than minimum wage. Can anyone imagine any other group in America that would allow that and that there would not be civil war? Can you imagine if one day there was a law that said that women under the height of 5'1" could not work in America, or if they hadn't achieved a certain weight, couldn't do something? It would be a war, and rightfully so, because it's unfair. But we have a codification, a law that says, indeed it is so. There are people who cannot do, and I do not accept that, and neither do you. NCD will be redoubling our efforts to eliminate this practice by answering the often deceptive claims and scare tactics of the lobbyists who slither their way through our halls of Congress, offering their dogma of gloom. This year, NCD will visit the six states, and numerous programs that have voluntarily eliminated their 14C certificates and have not experienced the dire consequences predicted by those merchants of hopelessness. NCD will also continue its much, much, much appreciated partnership with this organization as we continue to do things like congressional briefings and strategy meetings, which more often than not are led by some of the people in this room, including my good friend over here, John Parvay. Another priority that NCD is going to be looking at, has to do with what we call cradle-to-grave bioethic issues. These are issues that generally don't get talked about. These are issues that people sometimes are quite afraid of. These are issues that, as we talk about healthcare in America for people with disabilities, don't often get raised, but have the most significant impact emotionally and ethically on some of those decisions. We're going to ask the question, is it acceptable to use genetic testing as a tool to eliminate entire categories of people with genetic differences and have the audacity to call that a cure? Do we agree with a medical model that sometimes considers some lives less worthy of life because of the potential of a disability? And is it possible that this very mindset is one of the reasons why people still have negative attitudes about people with disabilities in America? You know, I have to say something, and I'm just going to say it. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to say it. I'm out of time, but I'm not going to. I'm out of time. Can I have a couple more minutes, please?
Sure.
Please. Oh, thanks. I got a short. Another hour, trust me. I've got a congressman behind me that probably has 600 appointments, and he's a wonderful man, and he's going to say he's just a great congressman, and he's my congressman, so I'm very proud. Anyway, I have literally heard said, can you believe that that person had that child even though they knew he would be born blind? I'm sure some of you have heard it. And is there anything more terrifying than someone making a statement like that? Should we be having a debate in 2018 whether people with disabilities should be allowed organ transplants? And is it acceptable under any condition for the words guardianship and assisted suicide to be spoken in the same sentence? Ever? We move to transportation, and I'm moving along quickly. But frankly, this is a real simple one. NCD has been one of the leaders in the field of autonomous vehicles because we understand a simple thing. If you can't get to work, you can't work. I mean, there isn't a lot more that you could say about that. If you can't get around, It makes your experience and your ability to find happiness and financial support and security almost impossible. So we're working with the Department of Transportation on almost a daily basis to make sure that your views and that the views of people with disabilities across this country are represented in the private meetings and in the conference rooms where things like autonomous vehicles are being discussed. And finally, I'm just going to touch very briefly on parental rights. NCD recently issued a report on the abuse of parental rights for people with disabilities. I asked my team to put together a little brief summary for me, tell me what the problems are, even though I'd worked on the survey, and what some of our solutions were. You know what? After they sent me this nice 40-page paper, I decided to sum it up this way. No parent should ever have a child taken away from them simply because they have a disability, period. Disability is not a crime, period. And I'll be darned if I am going to accept some judge somewhere who makes a decision that they have a better idea what to do with our children than the love of a parent. In closing, I just want to say that these are fundamentals to us as Americans. This is part of, you know, we have the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by a creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Everything we talked about today has to do with that statement. And it's our responsibility, everyone in this audience, everyone at NCD, my friends in Congress, all of us, to remember daily that it's our responsibility as citizens to pay forward the promise of liberty and to make America more inclusive and more equal for every human being. Thank you.